Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Scientists in the United States yesterday confirmed this major breakthrough in nuclear fusion that could pave the way for near limitless clean energy in the future. Well, that's the promise. And researchers at the US National Ignition Facility in California confirmed that they've overcome a major barrier, producing more energy from a fusion experiment than was put in. And physicists have pursued that technology for decades. But some experts say there's still a long way to go before fusion can power homes. Well, to talk a little bit more about this, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Paul Cosgrove, who's researcher at the Nuclear Energy Group at the University of Cambridge. Dr. Cosgrove, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
When we heard about this, some reports said, in an effort to explain it, that it's an imitation of how the sun and other stars create energy. Is that on the money, and can you expand on that for us?
Yes, pretty much. A few wee differences, but the main thing is that nuclear fusion is process of releasing energy by bringing small atoms together under very extreme conditions, and they fuse together, they release energy. This is as opposed to nuclear fission, where you have a big atom and you split it apart and release energy. At NIF in the US, they bring these atoms close together by having these little tiny fuel pellets, which are about 2 millimeters in diameter, very small, and they fire a very large laser at it to sort of compress it and heat it up from all sides. And this can induce fusion. This can cause fusion to happen.
And how long has this work been ongoing to try and replicate this action, this fusion?
It's been going for a long time. So I remember when I was in high school, NIF was in my textbook at least. So, a few decades anyway.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of what was said yesterday and the hopes around it?
So I think it's very certainly a scientific breakthrough. You know, they got this sort of ignition. They got more energy out than they put in. However, this is some inventive accounting, because how they count the energy they put in is there's this laser, as I say, they fire, and the light of the laser, you know, hits this pellet, and that is the energy going into the pellet, and then the pellet will produce some energy coming out. However, actually running those lasers, the big machines that produce that little pulse of light, is 100 times more energy than came out of the pellet. So there's sort of a scientific definition of break-even that they talk about, and then there's more of an engineering definition of break-even. So I would say they've got a long way to go yet to hit that.
I'm devastated. You've poured cold water on this for us now, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I don't like to be a pessimist, but
but is that the reality, that if we're looking at, you know, this claim of near limitless clean energy, that that's not what this is then?
I would say it's not. One aspect of it is that even if it was limitless clean energy, limitless doesn't necessarily mean cheap. An analogy that a friend told me was that you could get limitless air conditioning by transporting blocks of methane from Pluto, but it's probably not the most economical way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And with this device, it's a very complicated device already, just to get a little bit of energy in one little burst once a day from this pellet. But to make this into a power station, you would need to do this many, many times very quickly. You would need to make it much more reliable, and, you know, maybe with enough effort that could be done, but it would be a lot of effort, and it would probably be more expensive than other sources of clean energy, like nuclear fission, for example.
And what about the challenges provided in the fuel element of this? Can you break that down for us? What would be used, and how would it be acquired?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that people talk about in nuclear fusion is the unlimited fuel. That's literally half true. There are two sort of types of hydrogen that go into the fuel. One is called deuterium, and you can find it anywhere. You can find it in the water. The other one is a bit trickier. It's called tritium, and there's about 7 kilograms of it made globally by lightning strikes. And it's It's very, very valuable. If we wanted to run a power plant on it, we would need to find a way of making more of this. Currently, the best way we have of making more of it is through regular nuclear fission reactors. But it would be a very big and another engineering challenge for fusion reactors to overcome to make it themselves. So that's a steep one as well, I would say.
And what sort of machinery then, or what sort of durability would the machinery needed for all of that need to have?
Quite a lot. So these nuclear fusion reactors, they make a lot of very energetic radiation, which it's very penetrating, and there's a lot of it, which subjects sort of the materials that make the device to conditions which you only really see in nuclear weapons, for example.
Yeah, interesting on that, because it was fascinating to see how this was worded by the Americans when it was announced yesterday. The announcement said, this is a major scientific breakthrough that will pave the way for advancements in national defence. That was first. And then they said, and the future of clean power. So what does that tell us about the focus of the research?
Yes. So Lawrence Livermore, where this took place, is a nuclear weapons lab. NIF was originally made to sort of help nuclear weapons research when they couldn't do weapons testing anymore. There was a bit of sort of clean energy in the sales pitch for it, but mostly it's to make sure that if you can't detonate a nuclear weapon, it'll behave sort of as you would expect. So for the lab themselves, that's the big achievement. But I think there is sort of some exaggerating of the energy implications instead of the one that it was meant for.
So the near limitless clean energy claim is it's a byproduct really of what their ultimate goal was and is.
I would say so, yes.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the reality check there.
Sorry to be a cynic.
That's all right. Listen, tell it as it is. Dr. Paul Cosgrove, researcher at the Nuclear Energy Group at the University of Cambridge. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Just want to remind you that our personal finance expert, Owen McGee, will be here tomorrow. And Owen was talking to me recently about budgeting for Christmas and how to be savvy with what you're spending. And tomorrow, Owen will answer your questions on air about all of that. So you can get them into us now in advance. Text us during the show, 51551, or email anytime todaycb@rte.ie. Next on the programme, Britain facing mass industrial action. We'll take a closer look at what's happening.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.